I don't really spy on people, but I do watch people. If I would have known Brother Coop was that good on the piano, I would have come and got him fired last year and brought him over to my church. He's all right, you know. And if you're talented, I'll get you fired tonight too. And you just wander out to the Western Mission Field with me. I thank the Lord for the ability to preach the gospel. I've known your preacher a long time. I joked about it with him. I said his mom and I can't go in the same room because we fight over who's known him longer. But I've known your preacher a long, long time. And even as a young man, when he was developing in his in-depth Bible knowledge and the skills of the ministry, he had a love for the Lord and a love for people. And it continues. And I've watched him. And there's a lot of preachers that I like that are, they're nice to me and they're nice to their church folks, but you see them out in the neighborhood or out around town, they're just not that nice of folks. And your preacher is the real deal everywhere he goes. He's nice to everybody and he just shows kindness and grace, and I love that about him, and I thank the Lord for that. And don't ever change, my friend. Just keep on keeping on, and God will bless it, I'm sure. And of course, I had the delight of having lunch with his lovely daughter. And I'm going to call her boyfriend and tell her he's got to go. He's got to seven more years of waiting, or 10 more years or whatever. Just kick the can down the road. But she's a sweetheart, loves the Lord. And obviously, the whole church raises the children of the church. And what a delight it was tonight to see so many of the students stand up from the school. And we're glad you're here tonight. And I could use that homework pass. Many times I go to church and I have not studied one thing. And I just want to show our church I have permission not to know what I'm doing. I kid about that. But I'm glad you're here tonight. To all the young people and to all our friends, we're glad you're with us. Well, we're going to look for a moment together in the Word of God and go into Ephesians chapter number 5. But before we do, I think about, could this really be the revival service? And it's not about the preacher. It's not about a more dynamic voice. It's not about a more moving new song. It's not about the crowd that assembles night after night. It's not about the stories the preachers share. Could this really be the revival service that takes you past all the known previous norms? That takes you further than you've ever gone before? Not my dad, who ministered here with you last year and had a great time preaching for you and who preaches all over the country to this day, but his dad, my granddad, shared with me a story about when he was a little boy. And it was kind of a remarkable thing back in that day that not only did his father drive a car, but his mother drove a car. And back in that day and time, many, many women wouldn't drive at all. They just kind of left that to the men to do. And so it was kind of remarkable that his mother, my great-grandmother, drove the car. And he said one day, three or four of his friends and his brothers were packed in the back seat. And he said his mom was driving down the road. And they went down one hill. And they all giggled and chuckled. And so she sped up a little bit more, and they rolled down the next hill. And he said they threw their hands up in the air like they do on a roller coaster, and they all went wee as they were rolling along. And he said, looking back on it now, we were probably going 35 or 40 miles an hour. You know, when you're not used to it, anything seems fast. Today, Brother Riggs and I were on the road, and he was only going 90, but the guy behind him pulling a trailer wanted him to go faster. And he was pushing him, you know, like, hey, come on, man, you're holding up progress here. And, you get this, well, what's your set speed for God working in your life? And could this be the year it just moves forward into that we experience? where there's a chuckle on your face and there's a joy in your heart because God's done something in these meetings for you. And I want to tell you a little story, more of a joke, but I think it'll help you. There was a fella, and he worked with some guys, and the guys he worked with, every time lunchtime rolled around, he'd open up his lunch, and he'd go, "Man, bologna sandwiches. I don't like bologna sandwiches." And so he'd eat his lunch, and the other guys would laugh at him, kind of, as he's eating his bologna sandwich. And day after day at work, he'd go to lunch again. He goes, "I probably just have another bologna sandwich." And so he'd open it up and get it out and eat it. Well, finally, the end of the year rolled around, the Christmas party for work, and the fellow's wife was going to be there at the Christmas party. And so his coworkers that had been with him whining all year and hearing him complain about the bologna sandwiches, they said, "You know, let's band together and let's try to find the right moment and let's slip over there and try to say a word to his wife about what he has for his lunch, and because he really hates those bologna sandwiches, and frankly, we're all tired of hearing him complain about the bologna sandwiches." And so the right moment arrived, and the fellows went over there, and they talked to his wife, and they said, "You know, we hear him complain every day about the bologna sandwiches," and she looked at him and said, "He packs his own lunch." You know, when it comes to this revival, you're packing your own lunch. What you get out of it's going to be up to you. We're going to do what we can to lay out some truth from God for you. But you can walk away complaining with a bologna sandwich, or you can pack something that's going to help you for the journey ahead. Something that's going to be a blessing to you. I want you to look with me now at Ephesians 5, starting in verse number 18. And I'll continue reading through verse number 20 in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Familiar text that thankfully preachers of integrity like your pastor are not afraid to mention, but many would skip right past and never dare read aloud the admonition of God in Ephesians 5. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we started our reading with that five-word statement, "Be not drunk with wine." And we see that statement there. And some folks, especially those who have been in the church house for a while, those who have walked along on their sanctification journey, and you almost sit back with a level of comfort and a level of pride because you say, "By the grace and goodness of God, booze has been removed from my life." And it's kind of like the statement, "I don't drink and I don't run with those who do." And all the preachers say, "And that's good for you." And so you look at it and you go, "That's good to avoid that pitfall. Those grapes, that wine, it enters into your body. And as it moves through your stomach and into your bloodstream, it enters your mind and it makes you utter perverse things, as the scripture says. And it brings you under the control of the drink. And suddenly, you're a different person. And it's never good. Now, before those of us who are amongst the long dry in the crowd tonight get excited right here and start looking down their nose at somebody and say, "I wonder who has beer cans in their garbage or who has wine in their refrigerator or who's drinking around here," notice the next statement in verse 18, "Be filled with the Spirit." After the canceling action of "be not," there is an active action, "be filled." Filled. How are we supposed to be filled? We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's telling us right here, and he's showing us and warning us how to be full, not with the things the world is full of. You've seen somebody full of drink. You've seen a drunkard. They're easy to spot. But now, don't be like that person is full, but rather be filled with God's Spirit in your life. You know, the other day, it got cold overnight, and then it was hot in the day. And not that long ago, whatever was the condition outside was the condition inside of your house. And you'd open up the window to try to relieve it a little bit, but if it was hot and muggy outside, it was hot and muggy in your house. And if it was cold outside, you'd try to button up the windows a little bit, but it would be cold and damp in your house, because whatever was going on the outside would just come through and dictate what was on the inside. But that changed in about 1902 when a fellow came up with an invention that would change the development of the modern world. A fellow by the name of Willis Carrier would invent a device that he called the apparatus for treating air. So next time you want your husband to turn on the AC, sit back and be formal and say, "Sir, would you turn on the apparatus for treating air? It's time for the apparatus to treat some air in here." And the first modern electrical air conditioning system. And so for the first time ever, instead of just what's going on outside determining the temperature inside of the house, suddenly that apparatus would kick on and change what was inside the house. You know, I really believe that's what the apostle's saying here when he says, don't be drunk with wine like everyone else, but rather be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled on the inside with treated air. You don't have to be like the temperature around you. You don't have to be like the world around you, the people you work with, others. With a system installed, suddenly what's going on inside is different than what's going on outside. You're in control of things, because as your body, your body is the tabernacle, the temple, your house where you live. The scripture says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So when you got saved, God installed in you the Holy Spirit of God to set a different temperature for you, to make it different than what's happening around you, to change how it is for you when things are going on. Now, we think about that system being installed, making the indoor air nice and lovely, because it's controlled. Rather than being controlled by the weather, it's controlled by a set point that's determined. Our life with the power of God can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed." You know what he's talking about there? People that leave it off. Well, I have it, I just don't run it. I could turn the air on, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to let what's outside be what's inside, and I'm going to leave it turned off. I'm not going to let it run and control and change me. I'm just going to be like everything around me. And so with the Holy Spirit living in us, we change our life. Now, look what he says in our text, because it's so powerful. He talks about the way we control. After all, the Holy Spirit is in charge of what's happening inside of you. He says there, speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. Now, I have the great blessing of speaking to you, and I'm going to preach to you, and I love what your preacher said. He said, just preach till you're done. Don't worry about what time it is on the clock. Let the Holy Spirit guide what you say. Preach till the message is done, and then be done. But while I speak to you and while I preach to you, you're still talking at the same time to yourself. And when I'm done preaching to you and when your preacher's done speaking to you, you're still going to be talking to yourself. And so way more important than what you hear from me is what you hear from you. Speaking to yourself. Might I say, monitor what you say to you. Listen to these words. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I wonder how much time we spend just singing with grace in our heart to the Lord, speaking to ourselves. Speak to yourself as we're commanded in the word of God. Monitor what you say to you. You know, I think if more of us would think about what we're saying to ourselves, it'd change our life in a hurry. It'd bring that Holy Spirit set point. He'd be running in our life, and the temperature would be a whole lot nicer where we're sitting. Speak the word of God to yourself. I really believe you need to take a promise from the word of God and speak it over yourself. Speak the word of God over your life. You know, you shouldn't have the preachers up here. You shouldn't have your preacher being the only one preaching to you. You should preach to yourself. You should be hearing yourself preaching all the time. And take a promise from the word of God and talk it over to yourself. I mean, imagine for just a moment this, okay? You wake up in the night and you turn on the light by the bedstand, and there's Pastor Riggs standing right there. He goes, "Hi, how you doing?" You might be a little freaked out, right? You might be like, "I want my pastor close by, but not that close by. He could wait out in the hallway at least." So he won't be there for you. But when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're still there preaching to yourself. You're there speaking to yourself. You're telling yourself something. And you say, "Well, but the truth is, we're speaking to yourself. Declare God's goodness over your life. I love the old song, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. And I won't try to sing, I don't have a singing voice. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. Speak the goodness of God over your life. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus." Talk about that. Preach to yourself about your eternal destination over and over. And think about that. I was dead in trespass and sin, but Jesus died and saved me. I called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. And God came into my life and saved me. And now I'm sealed. I'm in the Father's hand. And no man's going to pluck me out of the Father's hand. You start saying that to yourself, and you'll notice the set point, the temperature inside of you is going to be different than what's around you. Suddenly it's like the AC running and you're at a different temperature. It feels a whole lot more comfortable when you take the truth of God and start speaking it over your life. We get saved, we're born again in the family of God, and many, many people never say anything about it. Say, "No, I'm going to talk about it. I'm saved by grace. With my heart I believed, I called on the name of God. I'm going to speak my salvation over myself all the time." Speak the word of God to yourself. You need to say, "God hears and answers my prayers." You know, I love it, and I thank the Lord. My wife is so lovely, and she's such a talented speaker, and she spoke for you ladies a while back, and she loves praying with people, and she's just got a heart of gold. And I love it when people come to us and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Or "Penny, would you pray over me? I have a situation." And I say, "You know what? I'm happy to pray for you, but let me tell you something. Don't let the devil convince you that you need somebody else to pray over you when you can pray for yourself. And you need to start claiming the promises of God and say, God hears and answers my prayers when I talk to him. I thank God he's heard and answered the prayers of your preacher. I thank God he hears and answers the prayers of your lovely preacher's wife. I thank God he hears the prayers of your leaders and your teachers and your servants and your deacons. But let me tell you something. God hears and answers your prayers. And you need to start saying that to yourself. Every time you get ready to pray, amen, hallelujah. You need to say, God hears and answers my prayers from where I am. Hey, if God heard Hagar out in the wilderness, you don't think he's not going to hear you? He's going to pay attention to what you're talking about. Oh, when those old winds of doubt and discouragement and despondency blow, it might be 100 degrees out there, but inside of here, you got that apparatus running and it's nice and comfortable. Why? Because you're speaking the truth of God over your life. You need to speak the truth of God. You're declaring God's word. Speak to yourself the word of God and claim those promises. Speak the blessing of obedience over your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm sitting in the revival service I am hearing the word of God. My faith is increasing. I'm believing that God is increasing my faith right here and right now. I know God's going to bless some other people in the house. I know God's going to help some other folks. I know other things are going to happen. But God is increasing my faith because I am hearing the word of God. You know, I loved what the preacher said. It might get tiresome this week to come to the church house night after night, and you might get a little weary. And I would say, but that's the good kind of weary, when you're pushing yourself for right things. But you know what? When you're driving to the church house, don't just let the winds of the devil blow through you. Oh, you're tired. Oh, you might get sick. Oh, you maybe need to take a night off. No, why don't you let the word of God set the temperature for you and say, faith comes by hearing. I'm about to hear the word of God. And as the faith increases in my life, God's going to do things he never did before. That's why I'm going there. That's why I might drag in a little tired by the final night. That's why I'm going to be paying attention, because God's word is going to be poured over me and blessings are going to come into my life. I'm going to speak the word of God over my life. Declare God's word. My faith is growing as I hear the word. How sad it is when we deal with people. I was talking to your preacher about it on the phone a few months ago. People come to church and they're like Pac-Man. I need. They're just eating up everything you give them, man. And then boom, they're gone just as fast. Hey, why didn't you come back again? It's like one and done. You got to feed on the word of God. So what happened? Because they didn't take the word of God and keep continuing. They didn't let the promises of God. Hey, you're here because your faith is going to grow. You're going to grow in the word of God. I don't care if you're the most mature person here. There's a good chance that many of you know more about the word of God than anyone that's going to preach at you. They're not going to read a text you haven't read. They're not going to say something you haven't heard. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So you declare, hey, God, you promised my faith is going to grow while I hear the word of God. And so I'm going to come, my faith is going to grow, and I'm going to be able to do amazing things because my faith is bigger than it was. Speak to yourself. I have a home in heaven. I'm forever sealed in the family of God. Speak to yourself. God hears and answers my prayers. Speak to yourself. My faith is growing. Look at our text, Ephesians 5. Be not filled with whatever blows your way, but be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourself about the promises of the Lord. It's about to get a whole lot more comfortable. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. God's the giver of every good thing. Thanksgiving is transformative. Jesus said these words, to him that hath, it shall be given. Him that hath not, even that which he hath, is going to be taken away from him. He's talking about that spirit of gratitude. The more you are grateful, the more God will give you to be grateful for. He that seeketh findeth. Well, why do you think like three good things happened to your preacher on his trip? Because he was seeking the Lord the whole time. God said, well, if you're looking for me to do something, I'll take care of you. You're looking for me to fix it, I'll give you a battery. You're looking for me to take care of it, I'll take care of your dinner. You're looking for me to take care of it, I'll put you in a nicer place. I'll lead you, because the more grateful you are, the more you'll have to be grateful about. Some people say, well, you don't know how bad I have it. You know, there was one lady at our church, and only by the Holy Spirit of God, I didn't say it, but I wanted to say it. I wanted to say it, but I didn't say it. I was like, hey, would you let me know, would you write it down and hand me a card when your mother dies? Why would you say that? Because you look like she died all the time, and I want to know when she actually went. You just walk around sour, crabby about everything. Everything's bad. You don't know how terrible it is. You don't know how rough my life is. You don't know how bad I have it. All these things. I say, why don't you just be grateful you're saved? That Jesus came all the way to the cross for you. That the Lord endured so much for us that we would be set free. All my sin debt was carried to that cross and washed away. I'm saved. You say, well, I'm really sick. Why don't you just start thanking God you have a healer who's on your side? Why don't you just thank God that He cares about you when you're sick, that He treats your infirmities, that He's there for you. The more you choose to thank God for, the more we'll be there to keep thanking God about. Hey, God gave me this. I want to be thankful. I want to celebrate what God's doing. Some need to come to church and say, I'm thankful for what I'm about to receive. I'm about to be given something from the Word of God. Faith's going to be dumped over me. I'm going to grow in faith. I thank God as I'm driving to church what God's going to do in my life. I want to praise the Lord for what He's doing. You know, we've gotten sometimes so far on the scale, and I know self-pride and arrogance is very off-putting, and we don't want the people who minister in church or other things to be prideful or arrogant. Certainly we should walk humbly with the Lord. We know the lesson of Jesus washing the feet, and it's kind of the lesson of the towel. But we've gotten so far on the side of, well, nobody should be proud of anything, that we don't thank God for the talents we have. Hey, we need to thank God for the talents He's given us. You know, I if I was a member here, I'd walk in the door and say, I thank God I've got a powerful preacher that discerns the Word of God for us and does it with the talent. I thank God you've got a great church secretary here, the very talented. I thank God you've got very talented musicians playing the pianos. I mean, some churches, they play the piano and people are talking about God, but I don't think it's in the right way. Here you've got some great music. I thank God for that. Hey, why don't you thank God for the ability He's given you? The service tonight opened up. The singers, the ladies were up here so beautiful, and their voices just rang out for God. And man, I was listening, and I cannot manufacture music, but I can judge music. And I can't sing pitch perfect, but I can tell when other people don't. And those girls, they were pitch perfect the whole time. And I was like, man, that's good. I can't make any of that, but I can sure enjoy it when they make it. Hey, you know what? Thank God for the talents He's given you. Thank God you're faithful to the Word. Thank God that you've raised your children for the Lord. Thank God for the abilities He's given you. Thank God you can walk into church and be a faithful usher and be faithful on the security team and be faithful to be a part of teaching or whatever ministry God gives you. Say, well, I don't want to be arrogant about it. I'm just a sinner. Hey, we're all sinners saved by grace. But thank God for the talents He's put into your life and praise Him for it. God, you didn't have to give me any of this. Here I am, and I get to do this for you. I want to celebrate with God because He allows me to do these things, and He helps me make it happen. Good, I want to rejoice in what God is doing. Sometimes we chase pride so far that we beat everybody up. Hey, we need to thank God for the talents He's put in our life. Giving thanks is so powerful. Most people think that they have to give thanks like those old pictures. You guys probably have them in your school books, you know, colonial America on Thanksgiving Day. You know, well, I would thank God if we had 3 days off of school and I had a whole turkey and corns and sat there, you know, all this stuff. They think they have to assemble something to be thankful for. What if we thank God for His promises in advance? Say, God, I'm going to give thanks even before the bank stops sending me low balance notices. I'm going to give thanks before I have a car that starts every time I get in there and turn the key. I'm going to thank God before I'm sitting in church watching my kids and my grandkids praise the Lord. Because I'm going to come into church in my body of pain, where I shuffle in the door and I don't walk like everybody because I'm in agony and I'm by myself, even though my heart is broken, I'm going to thank God and say, God, I thank You for what You're going to do. You're going to turn their lives around. You're going to heal me. You're going to bring it together. God, I thank You for what You're opening up in front of me. I'm not waiting till the feast is on the table to start thanking God. You see, my life is not controlled by the air on the outside. It's controlled by the Holy Spirit on the inside. So whatever's going on the outside doesn't really matter when it's running on the inside. And when it's running on the inside, you're comfortable. I can thank God, even though I don't have any money. I could thank God if my car broke down and one of you had to give me a ride tonight. I can thank God when the alerts come on my phone, I can't pay for what I need. I can thank God no matter what's happening because I know God is taking care of me. Now, I tell you this because when we think about giving thanks to God and being grateful, letting the Holy Spirit set the temperature of our life, what normally happens, and with all spiritual things, as we venture in a little bit and then we back away. I tell this story. My mother's mother, my grandmother on the maternal side, she grew up in northern Ohio, as did I. And I think the average temperature in Cleveland, Ohio is 60-something. It's a horrible place. Well, in later years, they moved down to Jackson, Mississippi, where the average temperature, I think, is in the upper 80s. So they had air conditioning in their home. But my grandmother wasn't used to air conditioning, and by the time of life that she lived down south, she was comfortable with warmer and warmer temperatures. And so she'd be sitting in her house, and she'd hear the air conditioning kick on, and she'd paddle over to the thermostat. And even way back in those days, she had like a digital thermostat with a passcode on it or something. It was like she was like the high-tech pre-internet pirate of air conditioning control, I'm telling you. And that air conditioning would kick on, and she'd be like, "Oh, I feel that air, it's so cold." And she'd go over there and type in her Star Trek keypad, and that air conditioning would shut right back off and sit quiet. I wonder how many of us that could have the Holy Spirit running in our life, really running, like pulling the air conditioning down in a room on a 100-degree day, and the minute it clicks on a little bit, well, you know, I heard the preacher say, give thanks, and so I'll be thankful, but the kids didn't clean up their rooms. I'd be thankful, but the husband didn't do what I wanted him to do. I'd be thankful, but you don't know my wife. I'd be thankful, but you don't understand how my situation is. And it clicks right back off. Can we just say this is the time to exceed all the previous norms, to pull the limiter off, to let it run. Let it run and change your life. How sad is it when we see the broken, the miserable, the drunkard on the street that's given his entire life to the addiction and they're ruined. And then Jesus says, if you'd give your entire life to the Holy Spirit, you'd be transformed. Your life would be like nothing you ever know. I believe the Lord's trying to turn the air on for you right now. But yet we tend to go back over there and let me shut it off because I haven't got the job yet. Let me shut it off because the kids aren't doing this yet. Let me shut it off because this hasn't happened yet. Can we just say, God, I want to let it run in my life. I'm not going to shut it off. I'm just going to keep believing your word. I'm going to keep quoting your word over my life. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks tonight without hearing from the doctor. I'm going to give thanks without the blessings. I'm not going to be controlled by what's out there. I'm going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let's close our Bibles for just a moment. And in a prayer-like spirit, let's rise to our feet all across the house. They're going to come to the instruments. In just a moment, your preacher is going to come and lead the invitation. Can we let the Holy Spirit kick on right now? Or are we just going to be like the temperature around us? We don't know what it's like where I live. No, but God does, and he's there with you. But you don't know how hard it is in my house. No, but he's there for you. You don't feel the pain and the sickness that I feel. No, but he's there to heal you. You just don't understand, preacher. No, but he cares for you. I want the Holy Spirit to run this week in me. I want the Holy Spirit to click on and not click off and change the temperature that I've been running on. It's going to get beautiful. You say, God spoke into my heart tonight. As the instruments softly play, why don't you step out of your seat right now? I want you to come down front and meet your pastor up here. Brother, come down front to the altar. Why don't you come down and see your preacher for just a moment? Why don't you step out of your seat right now and say, I want to start this revival different than any before.
Altars are open for you to come. And how's the Holy Spirit leading you? Brother Kevin Stevens is right here. He's got people ready to help you with spiritual counsel if you need it. But maybe you already know you're saved. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you. Maybe you just need someone to share something with and have them just give you some counsel from the Word. We have people ready to do that. Come on down tonight. Altars are open. Altars are open. As he preached tonight, we need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Not other outside factors. Not things that are lesser things. Is the Holy Spirit moving in you tonight? Come on down. Come on down. Maybe you're not able to kneel. Maybe you don't have the health capability to do that. You don't have to kneel at an altar. You come and just stand in an altar. Pray at the altar. I think there's something sweet, special about coming to an old-fashioned steps. Praying at the steps of the altar here. Just being up here close to it. Something special. There's still time for you to come. That spiritual need that's going on inside of your heart. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're dealing with grief. Maybe your faith has been weak. This is our year to challenge our faith. As a church, we've been talking about stepping out on faith, building our faith, increasing our faith, developing our faith. Maybe you struggle with faith. Maybe that's something you've talked to the Lord about. Have everybody bow your head just one more time. We're going to have him play one more verse of invitation in a moment, but before we do, let me just ask this question. I never ever like to close a service out that I don't put this question before you. And I've learned to never take things for granted. Just a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I brought a 12-minute long sermon because we had a business meeting to follow. I gave you a quick word from the Word, and I gave an invitation, and I asked this question. We had a dear lady raise her hand that she did not know she was saved. And that simple little message that night, she came forward. A counselor went in the side room with her, and she asked Jesus into her heart. Come to find out, she'd been struggling with that. I've learned to never take it for granted. So here's the question. Are you going to heaven? Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I mean, have you settled it? Do you wonder about it? Do you lay awake at night sometimes afraid of the thought of dying? Because you're not sure if heaven would be your home? My friend, we can help you with that. We can help you with that. If you say, preacher, I've settled this, and I know for sure that I'm saved, would you just slip your hand up? Man, I see hands everywhere. You can lower your hand. Is there anyone that would say, preacher, that's not a settled thing in my heart, but I sure want it to be? Would you pray for me? Would there be anybody tonight? If you'll just slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you or anything. I promise you that. I'm not going to call you out or come down to you. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone that can say, boy, the Lord sure used Brother Matt Gibbs to speak to my heart this morning and tonight? Would you just slip your hand up? Boy, I tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Brother Matt, I'm going to let you slip to the back door as we're going to get ready to close. And I know some of our people will want to shake your hand on the way out of the door. Get to know you a little bit. I love hearing preaching. I love hearing preaching. And one of the things I look forward to the revival is I get to hear some preaching. Look forward to this every year. And I want to